All right, the court will come to order. Thank you all for being here today at our Commissioners' Court. As we begin, is there someone who would volunteer come up to the microphone and do our opening prayer for us? Constable, you're the man, brother. Let's all stand together. Would you also lead us then in our pledges as well?
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioners. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you, and we glorify you, and we just thank you. Father, forgive us of our sins and help us be more like you. Lord, we're thankful for the day that you give us today. We're thankful for the Commissioner's Court here. And we just pray in supplication that every decision made here today will glorify you. We just pray that you just lay your healing hands on the family members that's lost law enforcement in the past 2 weeks here in our nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our pledges, please.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present here. We have a quorum. Also, do we have approval for the approval of Commissioner's Court agenda today? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, at this time, we'll hear from our citizens. If you have an item, and you're here as a citizen, and you have an item on the agenda or the consent agenda that you would like to discuss, this is your opportunity to do that. I want to remind you that there is a three-minute time frame, and we are, by statute, not, since it's not noticed, we are not to be interacting with each other, either from the court or there. If you do approach and you want to give us something, please ask permission before you do to approach the bench. All right? Is there anyone here who would like to begin, our citizens, on an item on the agenda? Yes, Constable.
Morning. Take a minute. There's an item on the consent agenda today. It was a donation to our Marine Division, to our office, from the Pat Moran family out of Willis. And we just want to take a minute and thank them for their generous donation, adding safety equipment to one of our boats on the lake. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that so much, Constable. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment on the agenda? If it's a comment that, by the way, that you do want to make, it's not on the agenda, we have an opportunity at the end for you to do that at the end of the agenda as well. All right. If there is no one, then Dr. LeVar, under proclamations, resolutions, and presentations, our CIT award. Welcome.
40s, Ms. Willis. Okay, please. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
The award that I'm here about is presented by the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Greater Houston, which covers Harris, Montgomery, and Fort Bend counties. It is the largest grassroots advocacy organization focused on improving the lives of those with the lived experience of mental illness and their families. The Officer of the Quarter Award is presented to the CIT officer in recognition of a stellar application of the CIT principles. That's the crisis intervention principles. So we have our awardee, Lacey Seaton. I want to tell you why she was the one chosen. And, of course, you know this is the Constable Precinct 1's CIT officers. Deputy Lacey Staten was selected for this award because of her work on a call dealing with a suicidal lady barricaded with a knife. Deputy Seaton worked diligently and with patience to connect with the woman and was able to get her responding to the deputies on the scene. The dedication of Deputy Seaton ultimately led to the ending of the situation without any use of force, and medical treatment was administered to the woman, who admitted taking medication to overdose. The situation could have ended tragically, but Deputy Seaton was able to use her crisis intervention and de-escalation training to connect with the individual and get her the medical and mental health treatment she so desperately needed. And for that, we give this award to Deputy Seaton.
Congratulations.
And she also gets an award.
We're getting the family up here for a picture. I want to thank you all again and again and again for supporting this in our community. It pays dividends, and you know, I can't thank you all enough, and I know the citizens in the community that have to deal with this in their lives appreciate it too. Thank you.
Well done, Constable. Well done. Well deserved.
Yes.
Ray, if you could pass those pictures on to us when you're done.
For her from the Eisenstein Foundation on Safe Policing. A gift certificate for her.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Well done. Dr. LeVar, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We appreciate it so much. All right, let's move forward to our agenda. Item number 9, County Clerk. And in both of these sections, we have a redo of our minutes from December 31st, 2023. Do I have a motion to accept?
Move.
Sure. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carries. And we consider and approve Commissioner's Court minutes from regular session dated January 11th, 2022 as submitted.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, or are there any items that we would like to bring to the open today?
I have two items I'd like to move to open.
Okay.
First is on page 4, 10E2.
Let me look at that real quick.
Page 4, 10E2. And then on page 7, 10O2. Page 7, 10O2. So I move with those two modifications.
All right. Are there any other modifications? If there are none, do we have a second?
Second. Oh, I'm sorry. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Commissioner.
Yes, sir. I just, on E2, if Gilbert could come up and just give us an explanation of this change order, and I'm always hesitant to approve these and want to know
sure.
what's going on.
So this is the retrofit of the existing election equipment carts. And so when we put the spec out, it was a preliminary spec, as close as we could get to it till we could bid it. And in the meantime, from the day it was awarded to this vendor, the elections department and the vendor have been working together and have made some modifications to the configuration of the cart. So initially it was going to be a larger change order, but state law caps it at 25%. So we capped the change order at 25%, which is $21,000.
Should we not rebid this and start over? Being that I believe if you add the totals together, would that not change the outcome of who got the bid?
No. The second low bidder was considerably higher than the low bidder.
You feel like bringing it up all the way to the state maximum is a good idea?
Well, it was you're about $80,000 below the second low bidder, even with the change order involved. Initially, the quote that we had received when we were putting all this together was in about $330,000 range. This vendor came in at $82,000, somewhere in that neighborhood.
So this
and
will be the only change order that they'll be allowed. This
that's correct.
So
and they've been working...
Because with the delay of the delivery, you've got time to do this if we choose to do it.
Well, and they've been working with the elections department since before Christmas. Actually, when this was awarded, the very next day. So,
did we look at, like comparing this to the cost of new carts?
So the new carts, we did that comparison before we brought this to the court to bid this out. New carts would have been closer to $450,000 if they're available. I mean, there's some shipping issues there. It was going to cost a lot of money just to ship the new carts here. Elections, they have a gentleman there that did this configuration. It will work for $100,000, for $100,000, whatever.
How old are these carts?
I don't know. See, I don't know that.
I'm just wondering, spending up to $100,000 or more on carts, and I sure 3 years later don't want to hear, hey, let's get new carts.
Yeah, no joke. We originally, right. Though, when we had bid this out, it was 300 and how much thousand?
330, about that.
So it's increasing from the 80-something that he said up to this number right here.
Right, it'll go to $102,000 or something like that.
Did they just realize that they did not bid high enough to?
No, it was a configuration change on the cart.
Oh, there was a change on the
cart? Yes, yes. They went to the dimensions.
If we wouldn't have made that change, it would have remained at the 80-something thousand.
Right.
Okay.
But we bid it out with this spec, and then got together and changed it.
No, well, they went from the dimensions of 25 by 28 by 52,
okay,
to a dimension of 31 by 28 by 60.
And why'd they do that? What made them decide they needed to do that? Why didn't they know that when we bid it the first time?
Well, like I said, it was a preliminary product or configuration that Elections put together. To bid it out, they thought that this would work, and as they got into the project, it went up eight inches in height. That was the change.
I'm trying to understand. Aren't these carts already a fixed size? I mean, how are we changing the length and height? You're just keeping the wheels assembly and building.
I don't know that.
But
I just know.
I'd like to know more.
Well, the deal, the significance of it though, is that we got together here and we're in approval of an up to of 300 something thousand, dropped down to the 80 something. They're increasing up to the statutory max of 21,000, and it's going to have to be done.
Yeah, when you're prefabricating something, I mean, there's always going to be a change. This wasn't a large change. I mean, it's just a dimensional change in the size of the cart. If you'd like to just pass on it, I mean, I suggest you approve it. They're working to try to meet a deadline.
When are the machines due to be here now? I know they're delayed. Do we know?
Do we know a new date?
Huh?
June.
Well, if you look at it, that's really not a whole lot of time for 1,900 machines or whatever,
right.
1,100, whatever it is.
Well, the other side of this whole deal is we went from 300-something thousand down to what's going to end up at 100,000, which kudos to you.
Well, it's
dropping this deal and looking at it and seeing what we needed to do.
Yeah, the vendor that bid this has been working with Elections, like I said, since, I guess, was it around Thanksgiving when we bid this? Yeah.
How many carts are there?
1,900.
Oh.
How many?
400.
No, there's more than that. 482 carts? Yeah, 482 carts.
Well, if it was up to me, I wouldn't interrupt their progress there.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
We have a motion to accept this. Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Commissioner, you're next. 10V1, yes. I think it is, page 9 of 11. Yeah.
Yes, on this particular item, this is the first I've heard about it. It's a buyout in Precinct 3, so before we move forward, I'd like something, information on it.
The property in question is a repetitive flood loss property in Timber Lakes, Timber Ridge.
And which?
Up against Spring Creek.
Grant is this coming
from? This is coming under the 2016 FMA grant, so flood mitigation grant.
So this is part of the Harvey?
Before Harvey. It's the 2016-15 floods, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
And just in the future, just work with my office and give us a heads up when these things are
absolutely
coming so we know that.
Yeah. We did actually have a buyout. I believe it may be the other one on here that's Harvey related. We're the first county in the state to issue a buyout from the Harvey grant.
No, and so. These are all things that need to happen. And it's unfortunate that we don't have any choice but to do it in this scattered, fragmented way.
Yeah.
Because it still causes problems.
We have over 650 properties identified that qualify for the repetitive flood loss, and we only buy out 40 or 50 at a time through these programs. So, I mean, there's a larger need than what we have. So.
Well, the problem is like we can't go to where the most extreme need is
correct.
And buy the whole street because yep. it's up to the individuals unless we go through condemnation and force.
That is correct.
Some
yep.
of the grants won't work yep. in that manner. But it's something that needs to happen. And, you know, we hear all the time about flooding issues in Montgomery County. And while there are certain areas that are challenged when it floods, many and most of the areas that we're buying out are areas that were pre-NFIP
mm-hmm.
that are in areas that they're never going to be able to avoid flooding. And the only thing that can be done is to buy them out. So,
correct.
You know, I continue to encourage folks that are eligible to contact your office.
Yeah, if they let us know or if it comes to the commissioners
list.
And you roll it up to us one way or another.
Because we're not going to solve this problem through mitigation efforts. These no. homes need to be purchased.
Yeah, in this particular case, this home, I believe, is less than 50 yards from the creek. So, I mean,
could have never been built there to begin with.
A lot of the process is just the red tape that comes from these grants. There's a lot of checks and balances that have to go into buying out a property from getting permission from the GLO after we've identified them. And then the next thing is the homeowner has to show they made the repairs to the house after they received flood insurance refunds, or not refunds, but settlements from the flood. If the house is gutted and they've never repaired the house back to livable standards, it's not eligible to be bought out. So they have to show all that. And a lot of folks, we're all guilty of not keeping receipts for those transactions, and, you know, especially if you did the work yourself. So we have to work with them to find proof of the repairs and proof of how they spent those grant dollars on their insurance settlements from their flood insurance before we're able to even identify the home as eligible to be bought out. And then they have to be living in the home. It can't be unoccupied at the time of the buyout as well. So it's a lot of rules that go into that. And of the 650 identified properties, not all of them would qualify under today's requirements because people don't live in them. They've leased them out. They turn them into rental properties and things like that. So, yeah.
Thanks. Thank you for
Yeah, I'll make sure they loop you in when we have one in your precinct, Commissioner. Yes, sir.
Move.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, let's move to our open agenda. Sheriff.
Good morning. Under 11A, we ask that you consider approved funding overtime expenses pertaining to security for the Trump rally that's happening this Saturday on the 29th. Request funding is for countywide law enforcement paid at time and a half for non-exempt personnel. And we will need a funding source. We had a pretty good meeting yesterday and then some side meetings afterwards to really discuss what the needs were between what the Trump team was going to be providing and the number of posts that we were going to need to staff both inside and outside of the site location. And so we did an analysis on that. We also got rosters from all the constables. They've been fantastic with the number of personnel that they've been willing to assign to the event. And so we're looking for a number that's less than $100,000. Last time Trump came, it was $47,000 is what the sheriff's office alone, and he was just a candidate, and this event is probably projected to be five times larger, maybe larger than that. It's going to be significant. It's going to be great, though. They're going to be the most bored cops on planet Earth, so that's going to be good. We're looking forward to this event.
All right. And the question comes up, would we do this for anybody else? And to me, what we don't want to do is have a situation that they had down in Houston where they don't have enough and people are overrun or crushed or whatever.
Oh.
And part of what you guys do in this whole deal would monitor the traffic and everything on the location itself.
Well, this should be a number that exceeds it. The fire marshal's office took the crowd rush tool.
Yeah.
Ingress, egress, life safety, they've taken the lead on that. So Jimmy Williams had a sidebar meeting as well, so he'll serve as our liaison for that. The folks that we're going to have assigned inside are specifically trained in crowd control. This is what they do. And Constable Hayden and Constable Gable also have personnel that are trained specifically for these type of events, so we'll be utilizing them inside as well. And then traffic control, the Trump Organization does bring traffic control people. They have a group that does that. They also have paid security that will be inside, so it won't be just us. It'll be when a lot of these folks won't engage until it gets, until there's a situation where it's really bad, which is why I say I think that they're going to be bored. I don't think that's going to happen. But if they if something does happen like that, we will be prepared for it. And also, this item was written, the verbiage was written last week before we had these meetings. I really want to see, because they kept saying yesterday that you're going to want us back and we're going to want to come back. So in preparation for that, we really want to get better numbers. So we want everybody, kind of like we did with Operation Lone Star for the border, we want all the personnel, whether they're incurring overtime or not, whether they're overtime exempt or not, to use a specific pay code so we can really get an accurate tally of what we have, and we can coordinate that with Treasury and budget, just so everybody has that on their timesheet. And Commissioner Walker, I would think that you would be part of this as well, because you had personnel that you were going to assign to this. They said some of the things that were needs, they will take care of themselves. But others, obviously, your precinct will be responsible for, and we'd like to capture that too. So I don't know if this motion could encapsulate that or what it would take, but I'd like to see everyone on the county level, regardless of agency, to code their time to the Trump event.
When he was here last time, you said it was $47,000?
That's what we incurred. The sheriff's office did it overtime.
Or sheriff's office?
Yes, sir.
How did we pay for that?
I don't remember.
Some of it did get reimbursed back to the township, and then I think some of it hit his normal operating budget. But I do know some of that was charged directly back to the township.
He was a candidate. I wasn't in office yet.
To a funding source, what would that be, reclassification of public safety dollars, something like that?
You could use that. You could also, there. You do have $341,000 in your contingency line that you could also use for it. It's just up to the court's discretion.
I'd rather take it out of fund balance, reclassify.
Yeah. I mean, it's public safety money. This is public
safety. Where else did you say? I'm sorry.
You could take it out of contingency right now. There's a $341,000 contingency balance.
I'm just thinking we have the reclassified public safety money. This is public safety. It just makes sense, unless I'm missing something. Keep our
that was my assumption.
Yeah,
I don't dare say it because I get sure, the verbiage wrong every time.
Sure, what do you think
the
amount of money is you're talking about? Are you talking up to 50,000?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
up
you.
Up to 50,000, up to
100,000,
up 100,000. To
100,000. Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're looking at.
And if we exceed, we'll come back and ask for more. But I don't think we will. But there's really no way to know. That's our best analysis that Carol was able to do in the finance office, based on the rosters given to us by the other agencies. The number of posts that are needed, our expectations of what that will cost is less than $100,000.
Okay.
But we're not asking for an exemption on the 80-hour rule. We're not asking for any privileges, because we're going to have a lot of people that are going to come in on their day off, and they will incur overtime. Then we're going to have half the department that's on duty, and they will not. But we will have multiple shifts.
So only people that qualify for overtime will be paid overtime.
And that specifically says in here for non-exempt personnel.
Okay.
But I'm not asking for exempt personnel.
But I mean, people that are under the 80 will not get overtime.
No, sir. No, we're paying for it. It's the only time I'll ever come to you and ask for an exemption on that 80-hour rule is when someone else is paying through it.
For
grant funds, yeah. Et cetera. Not the county, when it's a grant that's paying for it. That would be an exemption.
It's important to clarify that to make sure all the constables and everybody understand that it is not just blanket time and a half. It's only if they are eligible for overtime at the time of the event.
That's my request.
Okay.
That makes it
all right.
Good.
Sheriff, thank you. Do we have a motion to approve this at up to $100,000, correct?
And from where?
From reclassified public safety funds.
Move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any more discussion?
No, and this includes fire marshal, anybody that is, if Brett Ligon or the...
Anybody that's assigned to this Trump rally, right?
Well, this says law enforcement, but I would like all county personnel to use that time code, whether they, that's
can we do that?
Can we include that?
Project code.
That project code.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion? If there is none, let's vote. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate that. All right. Constable Precinct 1.
Good morning again. Item 12A is a discussion of the resolution order for the retirement of one of our narcotic canines. Whereas Barbie has served the citizens of Montgomery County since February of 2016 as a narcotics canine for the Montgomery County Constable Precinct 1 office. Whereas Barbie has been responsible for over 250 deployments and has located more than 36 pounds of cocaine, 32 pounds of fentanyl, along with several pounds of other narcotics with a street value to exceed $5 million, and approximately $51,000 in cash. Whereas Barbie has worked tirelessly for 6 years and now has reached the end of her career, and whereas pursuant to Texas Local Government Code 263.053B, allowing Barbie to live out her life with Sergeant Clausen, it will allow the county to be relieved of all costs incurred in caring for Barbie.
I move.
Second.
Good work.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That's great.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Sweet dog.
Yep.
Sweet.
I got a little.
Sweet baby dog.
I've got a little something, if I can read it real quick.
Yes.
She retired from duty on January 31st, and this was for medical purposes from our veterinarian that takes care of her. She'll live a quieter, less stressful life with her handler, Sergeant Clausen, who's done a tremendous job with her. Live at the house with his kids. She's already part of their family. She's done a tremendous job. She also, not just the narcotic side, but as you know, these kids love to see these dogs in schools. He's spent probably hundreds of trips to different schools, both private and state-funded schools and county schools, to let them see Barbie. It's a good PR tool for law enforcement to get the kids at early age to start understanding what we do in law enforcement. We're really proud of her, and we're going to miss her at the office. He's going to have to bring her by for visits. She's a well-loved dog. And we're looking at another one in the future, but we're going to try to find other funding so we don't have to come to the courts on that. But anyways, I'd like to thank him. And as duty as a not only as a sergeant over our civil division, but was also a top-notch canine handler. Thank you again, Steve.
You bet. Congratulations.
That's awesome, isn't it? Sweet.
I gotta miss that dog.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. If we move on to our next item. Item 13A, we've got to consider, discuss, and approve and appoint these members from the submitted list of nominees to the Montgomery County Ethics Commission. You'll see that we have got six here. We need five. And of the last two, Steve Mitby has not been on it, but Janet Spiegel has. My recommendation is to keep the one who's on it and knows what's going on it, as we need five to approve, and we have six that have listed. Is there any comment on that? Any discussion? No? All right.
Second your
vote. All right. All those in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries. Thank you. Emergency management. Give us an update, Jason, of what we requested last time. All right,
gentlemen. Good morning.
Morning.
So as you know, we have a warehouse that we keep all of our PPE in. It's a picture of the outside of the warehouse there. It's hard to see the picture behind the language there, but as we have, it's climate controlled, about 11,000 square feet of indoor space. We have shelves, as you can see in the picture, where we are able to stack almost to the ceiling, which has helped maximize space and allow the forklifts and things to move in there safely. We have a new inventory system that we put in place a few months back that's really able to help us track and forecast stock levels on this stuff as it's requested, and it helps us with expiration dates and rotating stock as well. Pictures of OEM in work. A lot of this was used predominantly late in all of 2020 and 21 is when we had the vast majority of stock going through the warehouse. 2020 was PPE of all sorts, and then in 21 it was a lot of vaccine-related supplies as we had the vaccine hub in operation earlier in the year. A list of the departments and agencies throughout the county that we've served since 2020. It's kind of small. I'll make sure you get this presentation so you can see it in better print. Since April of 2020, we've issued out 182,000 surgical masks, 63,000 N95s, almost 11,900 boxes of gloves, 3,000-plus gallons of hand sanitizer, face shields over 10,000, shoe covers, et cetera. The new and very busy item that we get requests the most right now besides gloves and masks are test kits. So we have about 23,380 test kits that have been issued out of the warehouse. This is really small, and I'm going to have to look at it even closer. But the next few slides is the actual breakdown of actual inventory that's in there. The big takeaway is the N95 mask. We have more N95 masks than any other thing in the warehouse. And talking with Commissioner Nowak after last session, we're going to be using the N95 mask. Most of the departments that are requesting surgical, we're going to get them out first. They do have a five-year shelf life, and our biggest stock came at the end of 2020, so we're about a year and a few months into the shelf life on them. With them climate control, that can be extended. However, expiration date is the expiration date. So we want to rotate them out. So we'll start using them more frequently for the departments that request a surgical mask. We'll push them out more to get more of them out of the office, out of the warehouse, and then start fulfilling orders for other stuff as it comes along. The next largest thing that, and it's updated now, is since last court we had an order of gloves show up. So we have a pretty good stock of gloves now on hand that at our basic rate, we have about 6 months, 7 months supply on hand at our current rate. So.
Aren't we kind of on the backside of all this?
You're on the backside of things for response, where it's the crazy stuff. I mean, there's some things in here that we will probably never issue back out because it was a request in 2020 that they're no longer requesting because things have changed. As science has changed, as the virus has changed, as supply chains have changed. There's just last week, for instance, we had a public health department that called and asked if we had a specific type of syringe because what they use for insulin administration, they can't find. There's a national shortage of it. Thankfully, we had a large number of them. We actually have a very large number of them, so we were able to fulfill an order to them to get them the life-saving syringes they needed for insulin treatment. That we're running into a lot of that now. So some of this stuff that we've had will come in handy as supply chain issues are still becoming an issue. The biggest supply chain issue now on the medical side is the pre-filled syringes that have saline in them. They use to flush an IV. You can't find them anywhere. We had a few. We were able to give them out, but we didn't have enough to fulfill a request. And just looking to see if we could utilize our purchasing power to buy it, it's just not there. You couldn't get them. And if ones you can find, they're 600% more expensive than what they should be. It's not worth chasing them at that rate. So that particular agency's has their staff pre-filling them. They're using a regular syringe and having to manually fill them with saline now and basically set themselves up for that flush ahead of time, which adds a 2 or 3 minute process to a life-saving procedure. So it's a sad thing right now with that.
Jason, how are we paid for all this stuff?
So not all of the PPE and equipment in there is paid for with CARES funds. We did receive some allocation from TEDM. So we do have some TEDM-labeled supplies, gloves, masks, test kits. The test kits are predominantly TEDM-supplied, so they're state-supplied. We have a few different types of test kits that we've practiced with and played with over the years that we've paid for in smaller numbers. But the bigger bulk of those Binex Now test kits that your offices receive when you order them are fulfilled from star requests that we put in through TEDM. I would say 75%+ of it is in the warehouse is CARES funded. PPE. Additionally, in that would be the hard assets like the forklifts that was purchased with CARES funds, the shelving, the hospital tents, now that we've received those back from St. Luke's and they've been cleaned and rolled back up and stored back in their storage containers. And then we have oxygen generators, oxygen bottles, and medical supplies like that that was given to us by TEDM that came in handy. And we had it for the pandemic. It came in handy during the winter storm when everyone's power went out. We were able to deploy oxygen bottles throughout the county to those who are on supplemental oxygen at home without power. So having a warehouse like this for a pandemic turned out to be a blessing when we had the winter storm, because we had pretty much everything we needed to do to respond to that medical crisis due to the lack of power. So.
All right.
And I'll make sure you get this presentations in your office. I'll send them to your chiefs, because the language is just so small to see each broken down item. There's several slides of the master list of supplies that we have. So
are there other items or things that we purchased that we're not going to need that we can get rid of?
There are some. We're looking at shelf life, and we're pushing that out to agencies. There's some people that still use face shields and booties for their shoes that we ordered back in 2020, and so we'll let them know we have it. Don't order it from your supplier. Order it from us, and we'll fulfill that order just to get it out of here. I don't know if you saw the news a few days ago. There's been several of these counties throughout the country who've emptied their warehouses out into the parking lot, and they've allowed the weather to destroy the inventory because they needed the warehouse space for something else because they had so much of this stuff. We're not in that predicament. If I had to put something else in the warehouse at the moment, I have room for that, but we don't plan on doing that because we can push this stuff out and get rid of it, and we're not buying more of it to restock it at this point. So,
what about all the equipment? You were talking about the forklift, and what comes of all of that?
So under the CARES Act, that becomes county property. We will continue to own those and use those. Right now, they're predominantly assigned to pandemic response because they're still managing the warehouse and things like that. But as time wears on, they'll get assigned to other departments or whatever to be used. We bought, I don't know the exact amount, but I think we spent $44,000 or $45,000 on 5 forklifts. We went and found 5 used forklifts. They've actually ran very well. We've had very little maintenance to do on them. So we were able to put all of them to work real fast. And the reason behind the number was we had set up the testing and the vaccine kits basically in a trailer, and we were able to deploy those, and it's basically a setup in a box. We had a forklift, had everything in the trailer. They could unload it on site and use it. And we utilize that during the first part of 2021, and then the one we leave in the warehouse. And then, of course, during the winter storm, it was all hands on deck. And we had to use all of them at that time. So
you know, we have 2 warehouses now, correct?
Yes, we have the hangar, which is just down the street, and the.
At some point in time, are we going to be able to condense back to maybe one? Or
yeah, I can't condense what's in this into the hangar due to it being non-climate controlled.
Huh.
So, in the non-climate controlled hangar, we have the muck out kits and the pillows and the blankets and the cots and the things that don't need to be air conditioned. However, we have to check that quite regularly because the temperature variation from hot to cold can cause dew, and some of that stuff could get ruined. So we watch that closely. It would be easier to condense into the air-conditioned warehouse as this stuff goes out the door. But the hangar, which is our disaster response supplies for our normal type disasters, right. Floods, fires, and right. Hurricanes and things like that, we'll never lose that because – we weren't here at the time, but I was not. But during Harvey, we weren't able to deploy shelters fast enough with assistance. So we, from my understanding, decided we were going to do that on our own, and that's why we have grant-funded supplies to do up to 2,500 shelter spaces.
Is it a long-term lease on that hangar, or is it?
So the hangars right now, both of them are through December of this year. The hangar's out of county funds leased, and then the and the original first 5 years was grant-funded, and now the county's converted.
You're right. I mean, in 16 during Harvey, that came in very handy. We were able to fly aircraft directly into here, unload
correct.
It, put it right into
since,
the warehouse.
Since then, though, I mean, since I've been here, we've deployed stuff out of that hangar for Tropical Storm Imelda. We set up shelters. Their winter storm, we shut up shelters. And we were able to utilize it fast. It's right next to the fire marshal's office where they keep their trucks and trailers, so they're our muscle, the fire marshal's office. We couldn't do a lot of it without them because when those disasters come into play, they basically respond to our office and become our shipping company. They're loading and moving this stuff around the county and delivering it.
As I know, we keep talking about warehouse space and things that we're going to need, and as we go through the master facilities plan in March, it'll be something to keep on mind, but at some point, we need to own and maintain our own facility at the airport.
Absolutely.
Mr. Walker's got a perfect idea. We get to that conversation later. It's on the airport to replace all of the hangar space that we're currently utilizing. And it would do the supplies we currently have in the non-climate controlled warehouse good to put it in climate control. We won't have to worry about mildewing and doing and all that stuff as well. And the utilities on it's not that bad because it's so well insulated. So we only really have high utility bill, and it's part of our lease. We don't have to pay it during the summer, the three hot summer months, and then it's pretty negligible the rest of the year because it's like right now it's not on. We're not even running heat because it's so well insulated. It's warm enough inside. So.
Thank you.
I'll shoot this over to you guys. And as part of the previous request for funds that required this, I don't actually need some. We got with the county auditor's office and were able to determine we did have some funding able to fulfill the orders for some test kits and some gloves and stuff that we needed at the time. So we're good for now.
Are any of these other agencies trying to find their own stuff, or are they depending on us to find it?
Well, the vast majority of the agencies served are in-house. So we pretty much, I don't know if the lock is still in place for purchasing those items, but they pretty much come to us for those. Some of the outside agencies have started reordering on their own, but what they find is they're either long delays or they can't get them, and they're not getting them at the price point that was there available. So if we have it and that's something that I'm not going to replenish, I prefer to just issue it out so it's out of our way. The hospitals in 2020 started getting a lot of stuff from us because they just couldn't get it. That stopped about midway through 2020. We've seen a couple requests for some items here lately because of supply issues, and the ones we can fulfill, we will. We're not going out and buying their items for them. I may be able to help them find it because we've gotten really good at finding this stuff now, but we're not going out and buying it for them.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. Do we have a motion to accept this presentation? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Permits. Jay, come on up. Dodie, if you'd come up as well. Jay, proceed.
The ladies first.
No.
Speak into the microphone, if you would, please.
Good morning, commissioners. The item number 15 on the agenda relates to having the budget office get authorization to close the funding for the floodplain administrator's position that's currently in the engineering department and bring that funding over to the permitting department. And what we're looking to do with that funding is to open a position for assistant director for permitting and floodplain administration and use the additional monies for the permitting director for performing the floodplain administrator's role. So we're not adding any new positions to the county staff, and there's no net increase in budgets between permitting and engineering.
Yep.
I think Amanda should probably make a clarification on the funding.
We have a motion here. We have a second, and then we'll discuss. Hold on. I'll second that. Okay. Discussion. Proceed.
Yeah, just for clarification, what we're doing is there was a position that was under the county engineer's budget. We're moving that position now to be under the permits department, but still part of Jay's salary, which as the director and part of the assistant director's salary, we'll still have a portion of their salary charged to the road and bridge fund through a journal entry done by the auditor's office. We've talked about this with them before. It is a savings to the county, or right now it's going to be a savings of about $23,538, and that's going to go back to the road and bridge departments, road and bridge fund. So in the end, it will go back to the four commissioners' budgets. So just so that everyone's kind of clear on that.
What was the salary of the assistant permit director?
We're requesting 70.
Yeah.
Same.
They're asking. Well, there was no assistant director before, so they're asking.
Need an assistant director now.
This would be opening a new assistant director position.
Yes.
We do need it.
We have lots of directors and assistant directors.
It's an increase of $10,055 to her. Currently is $59,945. She becomes an assistant director of permitting plus assistant floodplain administration, which puts her at $70,000.
Does she have experience with floodplain administration?
Yeah. Yes. She's a certified floodplain manager.
Talking to the microphone, sir. so everybody can hear you.
Yeah, no. Yes, she does have experience. She's a certified floodplain manager and has extensive experience in permitting, and I'll be working with her to learn additional responsibilities.
I think this move cleans up a lot of stuff.
It does. It does. And it drops $23,500 to the good in roads and bridge that wouldn't have had otherwise. So it's a movement in the right direction anyway. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much. All right, at this time we're going to move to executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. We shall return. Thank you all. Reconvene. Commissioner Walker, please.
Yes, I'd like to set up a meeting with TxDOT through our county attorney's office for set up a workshop with the state for pass-through money and escrow so we can kind of figure out what we're going to do in the future.
Yeah.
And to discuss on-system projects.
On-system projects, yes.
Great. We'll do that.
First April, somewhere in there.
All right. So we have a motion. Is there a second? Any discussion? If there is no discussion, all in favor?
Opposed.
Motion carries. All right. Thank you so much. Now, as we mentioned at the beginning, we have a time for citizens to come and share with us about topics of importance to them. Is there anything that anyone here would like to talk about today before we move on to our adjournment?
I move we adjourn.
All right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed. Motion carries. All right, Commissioner Riley.